They're telling me I'm on, so we're ready for the word of the Lord, right, church? God helping us this morning, I would like to speak to you on the theme of stoking your fire. God has placed a fire in our hearts. Is it burning brightly? And we're choosing as our text this morning, Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12, and also 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Leviticus 6:12. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. Did we hear what God is saying there? It must. This is not optional. It must be kept burning. It must not ever go out. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, reading verses 5 and 6 from the Amplified Bible, the admonition of the Apostle Paul to his son Timothy. Timothy, I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am fully persuaded dwells in you also. Now listen to verse 6. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God. What is that gift of God? That inner fire that is in you. So, Father, we pray this morning that the word of the Lord would run swiftly and be glorified. Let your word find a place in our hearts, that we would not only hear, but we would do. So, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do this morning, by anointing these lips of clay and by anointing our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. And we'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, in this cold weather, I wonder how many of you think about sitting by a fire. How many of you have ever sat by a campfire? These are always such wonderful opportunities, are they not? They're great kumbaya moments where you just feel such a camaraderie with those that are with you around that fire. In this 21st century, however, campfires have been replaced by fire pits. And anybody could buy them and purchase them and put them on their patios so they don't have to go out in the woods and make their own fire, finding their own timber. So they have this beautiful, ornate fire pit on their patio. Well, our son Rob bought one a few years ago, and anytime family would visit, he would end the evening by saying, let's go out on the patio and light a fire. And my wonderful daughter-in-law, Heather, would always have all the fixins prepared so our grandchildren could make their s'mores. And they would do that and assemble their s'mores after they burned their marshmallows to a crisp. And these were such special times when just as family, we could feel the warmth of being knit together as a family. And Rob's moved to South Carolina, so we don't have opportunities to do that with him and his family anymore, but we have memories of those times, and they're sweet memories. But alas, when you're around that fire, you realize that it just doesn't burn on and on and on. But that fire needs to be tended. That fire needs to be stoked. That fire, if you want it to continue to blaze and to burn brightly, it starts to burn down. Soon there are just embers, And unless you stoke it with some oxygen and put a new log on it, it will completely die out. And that's the picture that the Apostle Paul is painting for us as he speaks to his young protege, Timothy. Timothy, stoke the dying embers. Get that fire in your soul burning brightly once again. What has happened to Timothy? What caused his fire to dim? Well, the Bible doesn't really tell us, but you and I need to be aware that that reality and that possibility exists for each and every one of us. You know, the enemy has a bag of tricks up his sleeve, and he uses them over and over again to extinguish our fire. And if we want our fires to burn brightly, the first thing we need to do is identify, why does my fire go out? Why does my fire seem to so easily get extinguished? Well, there are several reasons, but I'd like to quickly point out for this morning, which the enemy is always successful in using any one of these four to kill the fire on the altar of your heart. The first of which is offense. How many of us know that as long as we live, there will always be offense? In messages that I've preached on this subject, I've shared with you that the word offense comes from the word scandalon, from which we get the word scandal, which is what? A stumbling block to people, right? And there are times in our life when offenses come to us, they are stumbling blocks, but if we take the bait, we have a choice. We don't need to take the bait. Because if we don't take the bait, we won't be offended and we won't stumble. But if we take the bait, you can be sure you will stumble and you will fall. And the enemy will get out his fire hose and extinguish the fire that is on the altar of your heart. Don't think that offenses only come from the world or from your enemies. You know, there are times offenses come from within your own circle, your own family. How many of us spouses would admit that there have been times when my spouse offended me, or my son or daughter offended me, or my parent offended me, or my grandparents, someone in the family? Oh, guess what else? In the church. I think the enemy has a real heyday in the church. I'd hate to say this, but I believe that there are people that are not sitting here this morning because they've been offended. And statistics will say 99% of people who leave the church leave because they've been offended. Sadly, so often the reason for their offense is not very well grounded. They're offended because someone didn't say hello to them. They're offended because they voted for one thing, but the majority voted for something else, and they wanted red carpet instead of blue carpet, so they left the church. There have been times when pastor says something from the pulpit, and God forbid he says something that they don't agree with. They just leave the church. Well, that speaks highly for spiritual maturity, doesn't it? But offenses come, and we want to be wary that when the enemy sets this trap and puts that bait out, that we clearly say no. Because if we entertain that offense, we will surely allow our fire to be extinguished. Closely related to offense is the second cause, and that's disappointment. And how many of us know, as long as we live, life has its disappointments, and many disappointments. And these become a primary reason why we lose our fire, especially when we say, well, I've been praying for a long time, and I've even fasted. And I even participated in that 21-day fast, and God still hasn't answered my prayer. And so we're disappointed, and we find offense with God. And we fail to understand that God is sovereign. And we fail to recognize the simple axiom that would change the very trajectory of our life if we would only live by this, that our disappointments in life are His appointments. I know we prayed for one thing, but sometime Abba God knows something better for us. And if we wait a little bit longer, that better can come to us. So if we say when we're disappointed, Father, thank you. I'm disappointed, but this disappointment is your appointment. You've got something better. I trust in you. Settle that in your mind, and you will never be offended, and disappointment will never be a reason for the fire to be extinguished in your life. Stop listening to the lies of the devil when he says, hath God said? You know, that's one of the favorite cards that the enemy likes to play. This week, I just noticed in my Facebook memory that a quote that I posted a few years came up. And this is what it said, and it's so relevant to what we're speaking of this morning. Growth in the Christian life is a process whereby we learn to recognize the lies of Satan. Are we learning to recognize the lies of Satan? If you believe the lies of Satan, I'm telling you this morning, your fire is going to be extinguished. We not only need to recognize them, we need to expose them to the truth of God and then decide, who am I going to believe, Satan or God? Only as lies are exposed to the truth of God can we begin to walk in the truth and really grow as Christians. And as I read that, I thought that statement could be better concluded in light of what we're sharing this morning. Only as the lies are exposed to the truth of God can we keep the fire on the altar of our hearts burning brightly. Another surefire way of pouring water onto our fire is busyness. And the busyness that really trips us up is the busyness we're doing for the Lord. And somehow we say to ourselves, well, this is a good busyness because I'm working for Jesus. But do we understand this morning it's a very dangerous position to be in, to be a keeper of the vineyard and not keep your own vineyard? Don't make the mistake and become a Martha, believing that you're doing what is most important when Jesus said to Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. I'm not saying it's not good to be busy for Jesus. I pray all the time as pastor, God, raise up more workers at High Street Worship Center. Raise up more volunteers. How many times have you read in our weekly highlights, media is desperate for volunteers? Thankfully, one recently came forward, but we need more than one. There are other areas of this church where we need volunteers, so God, raise up volunteers, but don't become a volunteer that becomes so consumed with being busy doing church work that you're neglecting that place of intimacy with God where you can keep your fire burning brightly. Because do we understand this morning that it's only through intimacy with God that we can be fruitful Christians? Otherwise, we're just kind of spinning our wheels. Busyness does not make us fruitful Christians. Only intimacy makes us fruitful. And here's a newsflash for some Christians who wonder why the fire is going out. Well, I'm just too busy to pray. Well, if you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. Because it's only through prayer, it's only through spending time with God, it's only through encountering fire from heaven that we can refuel and keep our lamps trimmed and burning. Quickly going on here, fourthly, materialism, the subtle temptation that allows our hearts to be so quickly and easily drawn away by things. Stuff. You know, there's no way that we can be consumed with God. There's no way that our hearts could be aflame with the fire of God being passionately in love with him while we're swooning over things, while we're consumed with, I need to get that other toy, and whatever it takes, I'm going to get that because that is my heart's desire. You know, we need to understand something as children of God this morning. God doesn't have a problem with us having stuff. He has a problem when stuff has us. And we must learn never to cling so tightly and tenaciously to things, because we're only stewards of things that have been entrusted to us. Everything comes from God, belongs to God, and at any moment in time, he, if he chooses to take those things from us, becomes very painful. And some people lose their faith. God, why are you taking that from me? That belongs to me. That's mine. Well, where is the lordship of Jesus Christ in that scenario? If we are surrendered and submitted to his lordship, then all that we are, all that we have, all we will ever be belongs to his and is surrendered to him and submitted to him so that he can have his way and do with us what he will, when he will, how he will. We so easily create new idols in our hearts, don't we? And we compete with God wooing us to himself. And you know, so often those idols seem so innocent as far as the world defines them. Yet if there is anything in my life that is more attractive to me, that has more priority in my mind or in my thoughts, then that is an idol that needs to come down, because I am not loving God first and I am not loving him foremost. That is then ungodly. I know they're not big, blatant sins, but you know what the Bible says? It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And I pray today, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts, that we would say, Father, reveal to me those little foxes that have been extinguishing little by little by little the fire that is on the altar of my heart, and cause that fire to be burning brightly once again. J.C. Ryle said it so well when he wrote these words. Nothing darkens the eyes of the mind so much and deadens the conscience so surely as an allowed sin. It may be a little one, but it is not the less dangerous. A small leak will sink a great ship, and a small spark will kindle a great fire, and a little allowed sin in like manner will ruin an immortal soul. Take my advice and never spare a little sin. See, if we're not watchful, God has called us to be oaks of righteousness. But if we would sometimes see ourselves as God sees us, we are this wilting sapling. I mean, get the picture in your mind. An oak of righteousness, something that is grand and great and tall and strong. And we're like this little seedling that is wilting and dying. Oh, God, restore us to that place where you've called us to be oaks of righteousness, that on the altar of our hearts, your fire would be burning so brightly. In this world, we all run the risk of having our hearts becoming like the soil that Jesus spoke of in the parable that we're all so familiar with. He says the soil becomes infested with thorns. And we read about it in Mark 4, where Jesus said, others are like the seed that fell among the thorns. They hear the word, but here's the but. What's the problem? The cares of the world and the desires for other things. Other things. What happens? They enter into the soil of our heart and they choke out the word. They extinguish the fire and it causes us to be unfruitful. The Greek word for world there is aion, and that word means age. points to the time in which we are living, the age in which we are living, where the societal norms dictate our lifestyles. How is our lifestyle to be dictated? How are we commanded to live? According to what our friends tell us is the now the acceptable norm? Well, everybody believe, I know that was old fashioned. That's old school. Get with it. We're in the 21st century. But heaven and earth will pass away. This word will never pass away. And we need to live by one standard. And that standard is the unchanging word of the living God. No matter what society says, no matter what the new normal is, no matter what the new mores are and the acceptable behaviors are, the present heartbeat of our culture that is being broadcast 24/7, you get in your car, you turn on the radio, you don't even realize that those words are entering into your mind. They're forming your thoughts. That's why we need to be renewed by the word of the Lord, not by what we're listening to on the radio, not by what we're seeing on the internet, not by what we're reading on social media. Some people are more consumed with Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all of those than they are with the word of God. And you can be sure that if their mind and spirit is being inculcated with all of that which is so contrary to the word of the Lord, then there is no way the fire from heaven can be burning on the altar of their hearts. The sad reality is our hearts can become so easily infested with thorns and weeds that choke out the word of God and the fire of God. And oh, how we need to be wary of those attractions, those distractions, those temptations that choke out the life of God. They're so subtle. So subtle. What's wrong with me turning into Facebook? Turning into Facebook before you get your face in this book? That's a problem. Wherever do we get the idea that that's salvation? And how many of us remember? Maybe for some of us it's been many, many years ago. But do you remember when you were so on fire for the Lord? Do you remember the fire that was on the altar of your heart? You could not wait to get back to church. You could not wait to get into that place of prayer. You could not wait to open the word. Your heart burned in passion, in love for the Lord Jesus, to be in relationship with him, to be in communion and fellowship with him. But then as we get older, we excuse ourselves by saying, well, we've just balanced out and, you know, we've gotten mature and we don't have to be so fanatical anymore and we're just a little more conservative, that's all. But, you know, the reality is it's not that we've gotten a little more conservative. The reality is we've become so negligent, we've become so compromised, we've become so lethargic and so complacent that the fire on the altar of our heart is being extinguished, and most of us don't even realize it. If more people realized it, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but if more people realized it, they would want to be in the house of the Lord today. And they're not. And they don't even give it a second thought because the fire on the altar of their heart is all but extinguished. And why does this happen? Not because the enemy is so powerful with his temptations that his temptations undo us, but I believe it's because we've not been scrupulous and careful. Careful. God calls us to be watchful and careful as to how we live our lives. And what is the command in God's word? 1 Thessalonians 5 19, quench not the Holy Spirit. Who's dwelling on the inside of us? Who is the fire on the altar of our hearts? It is the Holy Spirit. And if we quench the Holy Spirit, then we risk that fire going out. What does it mean to quench? It means to suppress or to stifle or to snuff out in order to extinguish. And you notice this verse is in the second person imperative. That means you. and you and you. It means me. I always preach to myself first, but it means every one of us. You know, so often we hear the word of God and it's for everyone else. But the word of God is clear. You, are we looking into the mirror of God's word today and saying, God, am I guilty of quenching and extinguishing the fire of the Holy Spirit on my heart's altar? What is Paul saying to Timothy? Timothy, don't dare allow that fire to be diminished. Don't allow your passion to fade. Don't allow your commitment to Christ to weaken. What was happening to Timothy? Paul said you need to stoke those dying embers. Stir up the gift of God. That word, stir up, we want to meditate on that for a few moments. It comes from a Greek word, which is a compound three word. I won't try to pronounce it. You can see it on the screen. But the first of those words is ana, and that carries the idea of repeating an earlier action or doing something again. The second word is zo, from which we get the word zoe, and I think we know that that means life. But the nuance of this word here is living life full of vigor, living life with passion, living life with a fervency. That's the word in the Bible that is most closely related to this word zoe, and it means boiling red hot. I know we're familiar with a couple of verses of Scripture that are very familiar to us, where we read in James 5 and 16, the effectual fervent. Do we pray fervent prayers? They're prayers that are red hot. They're not prayers that are just saying, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Bless me, my wife, our two children, us four and no more, amen. That's not a fervent prayer. But sadly, that's probably the way, I know I'm being facetious, but that's probably the level of the depth to what so many prayers are in 21st century Christians. We're familiar with Paul's admonition in Romans where he says, be fervent in spirit. But I want you to hear that in the Phillips translation. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work, let us keep the fire of the Spirit burning. That's the second word. And we need to grasp what it means. It means getting on fire. It means being burning hot. It means being passionate. It means having zeal and enthusiasm and a wholehearted vigor. We're in this thing with all that we are, with all that we have. It's not a Sunday morning thing and then we forget about it. It's a 24/7 relationship with Jesus Christ. If only we Christians could be as passionate for Christ as the world is, for their sin, for their agenda. I mean, do you see the passion of the abortion rights activists? You see the passion of those who are promoting an LGBTQ agenda? Do you realize how few people in our nation caused this nation to turn around and legislate these things? They were just a small handful of people, but they were so passionate, they were so on fire for their cause, that it changed the trajectory of our nation. Where's our passion for the Lord Jesus Christ? Where's our passion for the Great Commission? Where's the fire on the altar of our hearts for what God has called us to do? Why don't we carry that same passion for the kingdom? Then the third word in this Greek compound is per. We get the word pyro, pyromaniac. Any of you familiar with that? Fire. Fire. So you put these three words together, and Paul is saying to Timothy, stir up, repeat whatever it is that you must do in order to put life back into your fire. Your fire is almost gone, Timothy. There are just some dying embers there. You can't work for Christ in his kingdom and be effective for him if those embers are going to just completely die out. You need to stir up. You need to do whatever it is that you did in the beginning that caused you to be so passionate for Christ. To have that fervency and that passion and that zeal that never quit, never let up, never died out. It was fiery. Rekindle the flame. Bring it back to life again. Do we have hopes of becoming like John the Baptist? The scripture says of him, he was a blazing, burning torch. How many of us want to be blazing, burning torches for Jesus? Well, that's what it's going to take. How do we get a fiery heart? It doesn't just happen. We didn't sit around Rob's fire and just watch it die out. Rob got up there and started stoking the fire and put new logs on. And before long, it was blazing once again because of the attention that was being given to that fire. And it's the same thing in our spiritual life. We can only have fire in our hearts as we encounter fire. How do we encounter fire? We encounter God. And you don't encounter God just on Sunday morning. It's got to be a consistent relationship and walk with him. If you are waiting for Sunday morning to encounter God, you are waiting too long and that fire is going out. It's probably all but dead by the time you walk into these church doors. God invites us into an intimacy of relationship with him that is a 24/7. It's not even something that we say, okay, I had my morning devotions, and then we walk out of our prayer closet and we live as if we never were in our prayer closet. David said, I've set the Lord always before me. Whatever we're doing, there's this consciousness that the Spirit of God is living in me. And somehow, in my subconscious mind, there's a communion, there's a fellowship. The Spirit of God witnesses with my spirit that I am a son of God, that I belong to him, that he loves me, that he cares for me, and that any given moment I could cry out to him, and he's hearing and answering my prayer. I don't need to get back into my prayer closet. I'm in the middle of my work day, and I say, Jesus, I need you, help me in this. I can't figure this out. God, I need to make this phone call. I need your wisdom. I need your grace. He's there because you're in relationship and in fellowship with him. That's the fire that we're to encounter. And when God's fire touches us, we'll have burning hearts. I love this graphic because a picture is worth 1,000 words, isn't it? You see a Christian who's in communion with God, and because he's in communion with God, even though literally he may not be on his knees, he may be in his workplace, he may be on an assembly line, he may be on the telephone, but his heart is aflame. First, with the love of God, knowing that God loves him and he loves God, and he's loving God with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength. When we have fiery hearts, my brother, my sister, we don't trifle with sin. When we have fiery hearts, we live with the fear of God. We reverence God. We hallow God. We don't take the things of God lightly, but we tread softly because we realize we are walking on holy ground. God, help us. God, baptize us anew with fresh fire from heaven, the fire of the fear of the Lord, the fiery love of his jealous love, that he will not share us with anyone else, that he wants us all for himself. When we have the fire of God in our hearts, we're not going to fritter away our days and our hours, but we will redeem the time. You know, God gives us 24 hours a day. How are we spending those hours? Do we have an eye toward heaven? Do we have an eye toward building for eternity? Yeah, I know, we live in this world and we need to get things done. But how does God's word tell us to get things done? Whatever you do in word or deed, do as unto Christ. Do you do it, oh, I hate this job, I hate this boss? Do you do it because my wife is always asking me to do these chores? What a different spin, what a different perspective we would have if we would understand we are not doing this for our spouse, we're not doing this for our boss, you're not doing it for your pastor, you're doing it for Jesus, who gave his life, he gave his all. And what are we offering him? Some flickering flame that is about to go out. His heart was aflame for us when he was nailed to that cross. It could only be such passion that drove him to that cross. It was the passion of his love and his grace for you and for me. When that fire is burning in our heart, there's one prayer, and it's not what I want, what I think, what I feel, God, but it's your kingdom come, your will be done. There's one passion in our heart, and it is this: Lord, fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Not my agenda, not convincing people about what I believe, but filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. How many of us this morning want to ask Jesus, Lord, set my heart on fire for you once again? I want a burning heart. I want a burning heart. I need a burning heart. Pray with me this morning. Oh God, we cry out to you. We acknowledge today as we look upon our hearts that there is but a flickering flame. There are dying embers, but we say, Holy Spirit of God, fan that dying ember. Fan it with the fire of the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit. Blow upon us, God, and let that flame burn brightly. Oh God, we need you today. We cry out to you today. Move upon our hearts and consume us with holy fire, with holy fire. And as we close our service this morning, I want us to close with that song, Consuming Fire. Fan into flame. There must be more than this. Oh breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Consuming fire, fan into flame a passion for your name. Lord, have your way. Let's stand as we sing it together, and let's make it the prayer of our hearts.